You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
It is Friday, December 23rd. That means it's Festivus for the rest of us.
Oh.
Here, the Feast of Strength on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network alongside the King, Scott Angle, the Fantasy Executive, Corey Parson. I am Greg Sussman. Happy Festivus. Happy Christmas. Hanukkah holidays. Everything you got going on. Happy to you. Merry to you. And a good morning. It is Championship Friday. That means the Fantasy Super Bowl is this weekend, all weekend long, Saturday through Monday. Should be a good one for you. Hopefully, you get some time away from the family to watch some football. We'll go game by game. We'll get you set and ready to go for your championship this weekend. Scotty, what's going on?
How you doing? Good morning, fellas. Happy Festivus. Greg, are you going to supply the poll for us?
Cole, yes.
The poll. The Festivus poll.
Yeah, I can do that for you.
Yeah,
no problem.
We can do that. We have the Feast of Strength.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Tony Sincott, how are you, my friend?
I'm busy. We got 14 games in the NBA. We got all these, no time for Christmas.
No time for Christmas. That's unfortunate. Hopefully, your shopping is done then.
Yeah, it is. It is. I was prepared this year, so that's always a good thing.
You know, I'm the type of guy. Tony is Warriors.
Warriors Cavs.
You know, I'm a guy that, like, throughout the year will find something and just put it in a closet.
That's smart.
That makes sense.
What I usually do is someone tells me something, I just put it in my favorites in Google Chrome.
Well, that's a good idea.
And then I grab it at some point in December. Corey Parson, how are you, my friend?
I am doing well, Greg. Feeling good this morning. Can't complain. So
good.
Congratulations to your Dallas Cowboys.
Absolutely,
Corey.
Dallas Cowboys.
Oh,
locked
you.
Up the number one seed last night. Good job by them.
Yep, your Dallas Cowboys, number one seed in the NFC East. Team that could not win the game, a single game a year ago without Tony Romo has now has 12 wins without Tony Romo and the number one seed in the NFC, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Nice job by them. We'll get into how that happened and what the ramifications are of that happening coming up here today during the show. Wow, I didn't know my computer said it needed an update. So, yeah, we can restart now, no big deal. I didn't realize it's going to be like a half hour.
You can't restart now. You thought it was going to take...
I thought it was like one of those restarts where it takes 10 seconds.
No.
I didn't realize it was a major update this morning.
Oh, yeah. I always say no. And it's kind of crazy because, like, and then at 3 o'clock in the morning sometimes it'll go. And that's when you want it to happen, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's when you want it to happen.
Yeah, definitely. So then it was like, 10-second AA update. I didn't realize we were a half hour here, so that's okay. I got a text message. I got, a phone to talk to Mike Florio. Mike, how are you this morning on this Friday?
I'm doing good. Happy Festivus, guys.
Yeah, thank you, man. Thank you. I appreciate it. Let's get into the game last night. Giants fall to the Philadelphia Eagles in a game that I think last night, Corey and Tony, on Out of Bounds, and we saw all of a sudden this spread went from Giants -3 to Philly -1.5. We realized something was up. Philly got off to the hot start early, 14-0, and the Giants had their chances last night, man, but settled for 4 field goals for a team that has been able to convert most of the year. Settled for 4 field goals. Eli threw the ball almost 65 times. Giants record in passing attempts last night. Were not able to get it done. Tough spot on a Thursday night, obviously, away without their top cornerback. But, hey, they fall to Philly. Dallas now the number one seed. Eli Manning did not get the job done. Rookie mistakes. He looked like the rookie last night at times. Had Odell Beckham wide open on that second to last play of the game. Did not convert. So now the Giants will need help to clinch this weekend, Scotty.
Yeah, and fantasy-wise, if you started Odell, you're off to a good start.
Yep.
But let's remember, it's one player in one game. And, whether you're up or you're down, it's really not reflective. Okay, you're off to a great start, because people say, oh, I'm off to a great start or I'm down. It's like, it's not like real football where if a team like last night, they get out to a certain lead and, they build momentum. Sterling Shepard, got in the end zone. I think there's a lot to like for him coming in 2017.
I thought, you know what? It's so funny you say that because I watched this game. I was thinking the same exact thing. Like, I'm going to watch Sterling Shepard next year.
And what you're saying, Scotty, is spot on. There's so many people that played against Odell
Why
Beckham.
Next year? He has eight touchdowns. I mean, how are you going to think he's going to be better?
Well, I can't have him this year. No, I just said I can't have him this year.
I'm saying, I didn't say you guys make it sound like better.
I never said that. I'm saying I'm looking forward. Seeing what he can do next
year. That's what I'm saying. He's pretty good right now.
I don't disagree with that, and I don't think I ever inferred that. But you know what I'm saying is like, you know, he's got the eight touchdowns. We know he can get in the end zone. I think maybe he can get better in terms of receptions and yardage.
I totally agree.
It'd be hard with the number 13 on the other side.
That's true, Odell. That's the other side, right?
Odell's always been so impressive in the first year. You know, it might be hard to touch that touchdown number by maybe one or two, but I think he can get more involved. I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do next year when you consider he's only a rookie and he did that.
Yeah, I agree. You see wide receivers jump their sophomore and junior years here, but Tony's right. On the other side with Odell, it's very hard for to see the increase in receptions.
He'd be choking him out if he starts getting 15 or 17 targets.
You're right.
Now, to the people that 100%. Went against Odell, they have to feel terrible this
morning.
Oh,
they feel like shit.
But it is not over. There's going to be other players that go off this weekend, could very likely be one of the guys on your own team.
Absolutely.
Your opponent could have a guy that drops a couple guys that drop a dud. So don't think that just because your opponent got the big game from Odell that you are done for the weekend or that your championship hopes are down the drain. That's not true at all. Still plenty of football left to be played. So, Odell Beckham Jr. Owners also. Don't think that you have it in the bag. It's still work that needs to be done.
Everybody get excited if they start off with a near 30-point night.
It's crazy. You get a big night from Odell who doesn't even get in the end zone last night. That would have probably caused people that faced Odell to have a heart attack. But 11 for 150 for Odell Beckham last night. Sterling Shepard, 7 for 61, has that touchdown as Scotty mentioned. And Victor Cruz had this renaissance. And 8 for 84 last night. But I have to tell you, as a Giants fan, seeing Victor Cruz get the ball repeatedly, I wasn't happy.
Why not?
Because this guy can't move.
You're 100%. If you watch the game last night, people, and you saw him, he can't move at all.
No, he literally can't move. I was saying
the same thing. That was sad to see that guy being that bad. And I said, if the Giants don't bring him back, he's not going to make the NFL next year.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to bring him back, Tony. Huh? I don't think so. He was slow. Yep.
It reminded me, and I hate to use the same team, it reminded me of the end of career for Hakeem Nicks.
Sure.
I used to watch him, and I would say, I've never seen a slower player in the National Football League than Hakeem Nicks. And it was a guy with all the talent in the world.
Absolutely. And Hakeem Nicks, he had those leg injuries that totally sapped him, sapped his career. He's young. He's still young, which is crazy for Nicks. But Victor Cruz, who had these 8 catches for 84 yards, I don't know how it happened because he can't move. Literally, every time you grab the ball, he goes down because he's nowhere to go. And it's sad seeing how shifty he once was. Another player that I'm excited about for the Giants for next year, Tony, I mean, that's Paul Perkins. 15 carries, 68 yards.
You look good.
And it's so often that Rashard Jennings had the ball last night, and I'm just like, he's slow. Like, all I want is a guy to have some speed. Yeah. And Paul Perkins, every time he touched the ball, he made some nice moves, and he has some speed. He's a guy that, depending on what the Giants do in the draft and free agency, Paul Perkins can be a guy that I find interesting next year.
Yeah, this is a guy I was talking up in the preseason, and, you know, he very decisive. He saw a crease last night, and he just hit it. And it'll be interesting to see where he goes in drafts next year.
It's going to depend on the free agency and the Giants.
I think that was, of course, nobody really probably started him, but I think that was a situation where he did look impressive from what I saw at the contest last night. Now, there are a lot of, I did see a lot of Giants fans on social media complaining about the fact that the Philadelphia Eagles only had one penalty last night called against them. So, you know, listen, I don't know. Was that a thing? I didn't really get to see much of the game.
So the Giants are the least penalized team in the NFL. They had some bad penalties. There's only one Giants penalty, which to me was a roughing the passer, and Carson Wentz actually sent him out that I thought was a weak call. It was third down.
Against Eli Apple.
What about
that? That one was terrible too.
I was gonna say that. Yeah, oh my god! When they showed that replay, and I've never thought about this until last night.
He flopped.
You should be able to replay penalties because that call would never have hung up. And when I saw it live, I thought it was a penalty too, right?
Right.
Then they showed a replay, and I'm like, oh, my God, you can't allow that to happen.
He tapped him on the shoulder, and he knocks his head back. What?
You can't allow that to happen.
No, that was brutal.
Right? So I'm now, the worst thing in the world is more replays. But I'm to the point where after watching that play last night, you got to be able to review penalties. That was disgusting. The one statistic to me in this game that stood out,
yep,
as bad as Eli Manning was, he wasn't sacked once, so he wasn't under a ton of pressure. He had no sacks against him.
He wasn't under pressure.
He was very...
No, I'm saying a ton of pressure. We've seen guys...
very scattershot, though.
Yeah.
Just like... especially early on in the first half of the first quarter, just like it looked like he was completely out of tune with his receivers. They were doubling Odell early too, and like couldn't get the ball to him. He was all over the place.
I thought that he threw it 63 times last night, which
yeah,
is
you're not going to win many football games.
You're
like
not.
That.
I mean, you had an opportunity again. They had a chance.
From what I'm hearing from a little bit, I saw they were running the ball fine.
They were running the ball great.
They had over 100 rushing yards last night. Had over 100 rushing yards last night. They were behind all game. They were 14-0 in the blink of an eye. We're down to 14-0 in the blink of an eye. So they ran the ball actually very, very well. And Odell is the fastest player I've ever seen. And a shifty. I mean, he's incredible. We talk about that all the time. But Eli made the mistakes. Going back to your penalty comment, Corey, the two that we're mentioning were bad penalties. I think what Giants complained about on social media was on a fourth down to Sterling Shepard, Nolan Carroll from the University of Maryland, which is grabbing the arm the entire time. He lose. Ball still was in Sterling Shepard's chest, and he had it with two hands, and he dropped it. So he still had it. Unfortunately, wasn't good enough. Giants get the ball back, drove down the field. Eli again had Odell Beckham. He missed them. That's what happens. Giants had their opportunities last night. I'm not going to blame the refs. They had, like I said, he set up for four field goals, all within 40 yards. It's not going to get the job done. You got to get in the end zone.
Yeah, the only one thing I want to say about the running game with the Giants,
yes,
which might not come in, is when they got the big lead, the Philadelphia Eagles, then they dropped the safeties back 12 yards.
Point.
So maybe if we're in a close game, those lanes are not as open as they were last night. Because they were running all over them last night. It was crazy to see. Because I thought even Rashad Jennings actually played well. And you mentioned how slow he was. But he actually hit some holes and he ran hard in that game last night.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't know if it was a truth test because they've been so poor at running the ball.
Yeah, they've been so, so bad. And you're right, they dropped their safeties so they could beat over the top. That could have contributed to the running success for the Giants last night. Eli throws for 356 last night on those 62 attempts with three interceptions. That's going to hurt you, obviously. We just had one of those.
Yeah, thank God. Fantasy. Like, because at DFS last night, I never did this before, but I let the line, that change in the line we talked about.
Change
your
strategy.
I went with Philly's defense. I just threw him out there. And then when they ran the kickoffs there, and I actually used Darren Sproles last night who got in the end zone.
And I think...
What a great
Beckham.
Block Lane Johnson.
Absolutely.
That first time.
Oh,
down.
My God. He could have walked into the end zone.
Yeah.
I think that could have may have been what affected the line change as...
Lane Johnson?
No. Darren Sproles got healthier and got out the concussion protocol, that's probably what made the line move because that gave Philadelphia an advantage on special teams, and in just my opinion, and ended up playing out that way. Now, here's the thing, and I don't know if you saw tonight, Greg, but first of all, let me talk about Eli Manning. Going into the season, people were drafting him as a top 10 fantasy quarterback.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you satisfied with his production if you were Eli Manning owner this season?
No. Because I think a lot of people expected the Giants offense to be the same offense you've seen the last 2 years, where they opened it up and it was fun and it was high scoring. You haven't had that all year. That includes last night.
Yeah, and some people expected like with Shepard and the return of Cruz.
Still,
you know,
in McAdoo's offense.
Things up.
Yeah.
Maybe things would be a little bit better for the tight end. The touchdowns have sometimes been there, but the yardage has been often disappointing.
No, ultimately you're
as
not.
As a Giant fan, how do you feel about Eli Manning this morning?
You know what? I have seen some social media where they're like, we can't trust Eli anymore. He makes some poor decisions. And my comments to that is, this has been Eli's whole career, right?
This is him.
That's exactly what
I was going to say.
He's made some poor decisions his entire career. But with the game on the line last night, they're on their own 15-yard line. Did I think they had a very good chance to win the game last night? Absolutely, because he's also been able to drive them down his entire career.
And on situations like this, but you got to think, as from an NFL standpoint, going into the playoffs, he's still a very dangerous player.
Yeah,
I didn't realize.
He knows how to get it done with the money's on the line.
We've seen it, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't realize how bad he actually is this year.
Yeah.
If I take the average, so this is because he's played one more game, he's 22nd in the league. He's behind Colin Kaepernick. He's behind Blake Bortles. He's behind Jameis Winston, Tyrod Taylor, Andy Dalton. That's pretty low.
It's very low. He's had a bad year.
Like, that is tough. Yeah, but you say that, though, right? So 17 points per game, and this is why we always say wait on quarterbacks time and time again, right? Derek Carr, who everybody perceives as having a big game, there's only 3 points a game difference.
Sure.
There you go.
And there you go. And then there you go. Absolutely right, Tony. On the other side, you know what? Let's take a break here. When we come back, we'll look at the other side of things for Philadelphia, including Carson Wentz's night, Ryan Matthews and Darren Sproles, and the wide receivers who didn't really do anything at all.
Did you hear about your boy last night before you go to break?
Who?
Odell.
What did he do now?
Oh, boy. Nothing. I don't know if it's really a story or if it's that bad, but there was reports that after the game that
so what went after the game?
What I was reading after the game was that he was alone from the team, I guess in the hallway or whatever, right, growling to himself, and the Giants staff had to come get him and return him to the rest of his team.
Was he mad at himself or mad at the team or what?
I don't know. That's just the report I got on the
based
team.
Based on the second to last play of the game, I'm sure it was the quarterback.
I would say that you were probably.
I don't know. I think it's a non-story. Everything Odell does is a story. But you know, if he was upset, I don't have a problem with that. But I was interested to see where his name popped up on my team stream talking about him growling to himself.
Once my computer loads up, that was appropriate.
Nobody heard that, Greg.
Once my computer loads up, I'll check the Twitter machine, and I'll be able to get you some updates there. All right, we'll take a break. We'll look at the Eagles side of things from last night's victory on the other side of the break. It's Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We are back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
A little rock and roll Christmas music. That's
cool.
What that is?
That was cool.
Scott's doing the air guitar. Yeah. Rock out, Scotty. Rock out for the holidays. There you go.
Oh, my God. I just went. Sorry. Because now I'm destroying that Twitter timeline. Yeah. This is just, this is where I'm.
Oh, did Odell start tweeting last night?
I'm not up to this. I'm up to a Vladimir Putin quote from yesterday.
Oh, God.
Trump understood the mood of the people and kept going until the end when nobody believed in him except us, says Vladimir Putin to applause.
Yes. We're going to be superpowers. It's going to be all of a sudden like the Iron Sheik and Hulk Hogan.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, must be nice. All right, the Philadelphia Eagles last night go out to this early 14-0 lead. Really never looked back from that. They were led by Carson Wentz, who had 152 and a touchdown and an interception. Left the game with
had a second, too.
Almost had a second interception.
Almost had a second interception last night. When that kid throws on the run, he just doesn't do it very well. That was an easy interception for Dominic Rogers-Cromartie. This kid throws on the run, misjudges the strength of his arm.
But to give him defense, he's throwing the ball. When he's throwing on the run, he's throwing 50 yards down the field. Now, you could question his judgment by doing that.
Yeah, he did.
But it's not like he's...
That first interception was like a floater that laid up there forever.
Yeah, you can question his judgment, but it's not like he's throwing on the run and, they're on the two-yard line and he's rolling to his right. And
right.
I mean, he's firing the ball down the field. That could be a bad decision, and I think it obviously was.
He was scrambling forever on that interception in the second near interception, and he kind of flung up a floater, and he almost did it a second time.
He did do it. He got lucky.
Yeah, he got lucky, but his ability to create plays last night actually very much impressed me. He'll make better decisions. He's going to be good.
He'll get better. He's going to be good. But when he breaks the pocket, he scares me.
Really? I liked when he breaks the pocket. I think he made some bad decisions last night.
He made four great runs last night. Like the two first downs.
I'm talking about when
he
breaks the rocket and pocket and tries to throw on the run.
But you know what? Those bombs.
Those throws are going to be better.
Yeah. Those throws, when he gets older, are going to be better.
It's like Tony said, though. He totally misjudged it.
Yeah, no, there's no question. We're not obviously did that. He threw an interception and could have had another one. He made the wrong decision. But if he was a little more on those balls, you have completions. I think ultimately they're learning experiences for him.
There's no way on that interception is going to be a completion. That thing hung out there forever.
That's why I said he puts a little more on the ball. It doesn't hang out there forever, is what I'm trying to say.
He's got to learn that. I agree with you.
Yeah, exactly. But he's going to learn it. This guy's going to be good. I
agree. I think he's going to be a good quality starting quarterback in the NFL.
Rams may have made a mistake.
Yeah, they got to get some pieces around him.
They made a mistake.
And the Browns may have made a mistake as well.
They got to get some pieces around him. It's going to be interesting to see how he progresses next season, especially.
Yes.
I do think that DeSean Jackson ends up back in Philadelphia. Yeah, I think so. And that's what the Eagles need. They need somebody to take the top off the defense.
Absolutely.
That would be something that can help that offense
out. They need
out.
Help with the wide receivers, no question about that. And I think Carson Wentz, full year in the program, conceivably, it's a good spot for him. So he'll get better. He left the concussion symptoms, came back, passed the protocol. He was out back in there. In the meantime, Ryan Matthews gets stuffed at the goal line four times.
Yeah, I'm glad.
I thought he played well last night, too, right?
Yep.
Like, he had some decent runs, but it's crazy. He couldn't get in the end zone. But when they run the ball, it seemed like everybody knew they were coming. I thought on fourth down they would go for it and bring Darren Sproles in. I don't know what to say. You put Ryan Matthews in, you're never going to have a huge game. He played pretty well last night, and he didn't get in the end zone.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. 18 carries, 46 yards total here for Ryan Matthews last night. Darren Sproles has the 25-yard touchdown in the first quarter. He finishes with 7 for 40. In the passing game, if you start any of these guys here, that was probably
funny.
It is funny. But Jordan Matthews, you could have started.
Zach Ertz was a big disappointment.
Disaster for Zach Ertz.
You're right.
And we talked about how confident he was.
I'm pretty sure that no other team this whole weekend will have a team that no wide receiver catches more than two balls. That's what happened yesterday. The only one that caught more than two balls was Celek, a backup tight end.
Yep, you're absolutely
right.
That's
crazy. And they won.
Yeah, crazy. Crazy. You had Zach Ertz have 2 for 33, and we just talked about Zach Ertz and our confidence level in him.
And once again, we see a situation where you have inconsistency in tight end play. He's on one of the top tight ends. We know his target share is going to be good for the most part, but then you see things like this. But you can't with these tight ends are extremely inconsistent, and I'm not paying for them next year.
Yeah, and I really thought Zach Ertz was going to be reliable going forward. He was not last night. Jordan Matthews also killed you, 2 for 12. What do we think of him next year? Because I loved him last year, kind of like everybody loved him last year. I hated him this year, kind of like everybody hated him this year. What do we think of him next year?
I think it really, like Corey was alluding to, it depends on what the pieces are around him. You know, if he's got other playmakers around him, you know, maybe commands a little bit less defensive attention. Carson Wentz improves. You know, this guy could be a wide receiver three.
Tony?
I think he definitely can, too. I think a lot of it's going to be on who they put on the other side of him at wide receiver. You bring a guy like DeSean Jackson, right, who gets down the field, and then he's the guy taking the ball out of the slot, and he could end up with 80 catches.
Yeah, and that's kind of what you want for Jordan Matthews. Hey, by the way, I found the video of Odell growling at himself.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Let me. Where'd you find it at?
You know what? This is actually the end of him growling at himself.
This is when they came to get him?
Yeah. So basically, team security, and then John Mara had to walk over to him.
Yeah. Oh,
they had to get the owner involved.
Yeah. Like,
I'm okay with this, to tell you the truth.
Okay.
I think that there's a guy, I say it time and time again, why are we getting pissed off at a guy that's pissed off that they lost? We have so many guys that don't care, and they do it for a paycheck, and we overblow everything this guy does.
Yeah.
I mean, this is that little Paul O'Neill, whiny little Yankee. Nobody would have problem with it, right?
You're absolutely right.
They would say everybody just blows everything up.
That's his passion was the thing with O'Neill, and I agreed with that. But
You know what? He didn't do anything on the field that killed him last night. He didn't go crazy at the refs. You know, he looked for one call. He looked for one call. He didn't do anything wrong on the sidelines. You had no issue with Odell last night. Beat reporter James Kratz says, quote, he got upset, frustrated, hit a sliding metal door, calmed himself down, was totally fine. All right.
Yeah. This kid.
It's something that you would see Dez Bryant do all the time. You know what I mean? But this guy's a celebrity athlete, and everything he does is going to be looked at in the microscope.
Absolutely. Basically.
But they're going to have to do in the offseason. I think they have to sit him down and be like, you got to figure it out a little bit better.
You got to chill out.
We understand the lights and this pressure on you.
To be fair, the second half of the year has been a lot better. Right, like we haven't had these issues with the field goal kicking net the second half of the year at all.
I tell you what, you know, he's looking forward to 2017. The only wide receiver I'm drafting ahead of him is Antonio Brown. That's it.
Oh, he does as good as it gets, man.
Yeah,
he jumped in the Salvation Army thing and see how people would react.
Right? I wish they played Dallas, and he did that and see what happened.
It would have been a big deal.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm 100%. I'd be 100% honest. They would have made a big deal about it. Oh, who does he think he is? Why is he doing that? Look at the immaturity. So, but see, I think when you get in a negative light in the mainstream media, they just continue.
They keep trying to pull you down.
They just continue
until they get you the the resurrection story. There's nothing better than that.
Then you come. Then you come back, and you know what I mean. And you come back, and then you're the toast of the town again.
The same reporter, James Cratch, actually said he didn't see the Odell Beckham growling thing. But he said it's something you see at like a high school wrestling event. Time after time again, like you walk around, you growl at yourself, you pump yourself up.
Oh, you look at a homeboy. What's his name? Gold medal guy, swimming.
Phelps.
Michael Phelps.
Sure.
Yeah, he's had his things, but he was, you know, in his zone doing his thing. But he be winning though. It's different.
Oh, it's interesting. He actually, at the end of this whole thing, was back in the locker room. Comments gonna be talking to reporters.
Yeah,
totally fine. So this is a non-story.
That's what I thought too. Was a non-story when I saw it come up across the team stream.
The one thing that didn't make sense to me, Tony, last night was on this play where Eli, like, rushes them back to the line. Odell is gassed after running into the end zone, and they call a third down play, and Odell doesn't move because he's exhausted. Like, instead of taking their time going back to the huddle because it was an incomplete pass, time wasn't running. They rushed him to the line for some reason. That was a mistake.
It was a mistake, and I don't know if Odell got caught off guard there.
Right.
But that's the only time you got to take yourself out of the game because you run that. And you see it all the time when receivers go down, they'll raise their hand and somebody jump in from them. I don't know whether he just got confused because he was tired.
Right.
Or he didn't expect them to rush the line of scrimmage.
You're probably right about that.
Get cut off about it. He should have got himself out of that game. But they seem so disorganized, that team. The Giants' offense, it seems like it's all over the place. And maybe it's just Eli Manning pouting around like he always does. It just seems like...
That's what Giant fans say when I talk to him. I'm like, how do you feel about Eli? I hate when he makes that face.
Well, hey, it's been successful for him. I wouldn't change anything he does.
Yes.
But there are times... Well, there are times when you feel like that nobody has any idea what's going on out in that field.
Yes.
But I'm surprised at how poor this offense has been this year.
I'm surprised like how they played period last night. You know, here's a chance to like wrap up a playoff spot, and kind of like with Washington last week, you know, they just came out. There was no rhythm on offense.
It's true.
And the defense, which we've praised, and I was talking about the Giants as a top 4 or 5 team yesterday when we did our power rankings on Old School Fantasy. The defense gave up big plays to Sproles and Aguilar.
Well, you're absolutely right. They certainly did. Eli Apple got turned around on the Aguilar one. I think, to be fair, and you know this, Scott, with the general being out, Giants without arguably their best player in the secondary, Janoris Jenkins. He's been just a tremendous quarterback.
You think he's better than Landon Collins?
I said arguably their best best defender. Janoris Jenkins is taking guys out, as you know, Corey, with Dez Bryant.
Yeah.
So, as good as Landon Collins has been this year, he's been unbelievable, don't get me wrong.
And Rodgers Cromartie's been good, too.
He has not been nearly as good as Janoris
Jenkins.
No, but
he's been good, though.
But here's the one thing people don't get. When you allow big plays, it's not an indictment on your overall defense.
I agree with that.
Basically, you're in the wrong place on one play. I mean, like, they didn't drive down the field on them.
You're absolutely right.
And all of a sudden, that defense is there. So that's what people don't get. When you let up these, and the Ravens are a perfect example of it. The Ravens are a good defense. They have plays that they let up.
Year.
Yeah, because the guys are in the wrong place, and some of the young guys don't know what the hell they're doing every once in a while. It is not an indictment on the defensive ability. And last night, what happened was the Eagles jumped on them early. They had a defensive touchdown. And so all that stuff got dismayed. But when you really look at it, the Eagles didn't drive on them. The guy, Carson Wentz, had very minimal numbers. Ryan Matthews had minimal numbers. The defense wasn't that bad. It was just those big plays make it look bad.
Defense has been good all year for the Giants, and you're absolutely right. I don't think yesterday was an exception. I think, again, Giants lost this game for sure. They had their opportunities. Thursday night in Philadelphia, it's a tough spot. This doesn't change how I feel about their chances if they do make the playoffs.
You know, you look at it, though, and like, tough spot. It's like, I know they've had their troubles in Philadelphia, but you know, if the Giants are going to be a significant playoff contender, this is a game they should win. They're a better team than Philadelphia.
Oh, that's ridiculous to say. That's ridiculous to say.
Everybody
gets a paycheck. Everybody gets a paycheck. They're professional athletes. They're playing a home game on a primetime television. It's not like losing to Tampa on a regular Sunday afternoon.
It's not like losing to the Seahawks at home on Sunday Night Football.
That's what I'm saying. It's one game. They play professional.
But you know what, though?
You just defeated your own argument with your ignorance.
Oh, I didn't finish, and you don't need to insult me to make your point, but I know that's who
you are. I'm not insulting you as a person. I insulted your comment.
Okay, you don't insult my comment. But what I'm saying is I don't care. I disagree with you. This is a team that, if you want to be considered a serious playoff
contender... No, you're cherry picking, just like you are, but you ignore everything the Seahawks. Everybody in the world that knows it. Everybody listening to the show is laughing at
you. It's like everybody's
laughing. You lost one game to a professional team. It happens.
All right.
In their home game.
He's got to get mean and nasty as always when somebody disagrees with him.
Oh, anybody that disagrees. Scott's going to get the last word, like he always does.
We know that. We know that. And at some point, bring up ramen noodles, and then we can move on, okay?
But, and you'll be dancing with your skin flute, coming back to break.
Yeah, I will. And it'll be the last time I do it.
And no, it won't.
Come on, Scotty.
No, my point is, Tony, and you know what I love you, but my point is that this is a game. This is a game the Giants should win, to me. They're a better team than Philadelphia.
But we've seen...
They're a 10-win team, and you're supposed to be locking up a playoff spot.
Would it shock you if they were in the Super Bowl, Scott? Would it shock you if they were in the Super Bowl?
Well, that goes into my next point, though. It goes into my next point. I don't think that you could point to any team in the NFL, though. Now, look, I think it is what it is, okay? Number one, you're supposed to win this game. If you're going to be like a Super Bowl contender or like a really good playoff team, you're supposed to win this game. To me, this is as bad as Washington losing to Carolina in a way. But I will say this about the NFL. I will say this about the NFL. I don't think you can point to a single team and say, like, when you saw Carolina during the regular season last year, and say, this team has been so dominant that nobody's going to touch them. There's more parity this year, I think.
Hey, you know what? I think that, again, it's a short week for the Giants. In Philadelphia, a rival, a team that, as you mentioned, has had their number for years.
Hold on. Scott, do you realize the Giants were the underdog last night in that game?
Well, that was the next point. That was the next point I was getting to. Because they weren't supposed to win that game, technically. They weren't favored.
Why were they the underdog?
They just, what are you asking me for?
I don't know.
As Vegas. They were not favored in that game.
The Eagles were playing. What, the Eagles lost four straight?
Giants were not favored in that game.
Maybe because it was
a Thursday night at home.
The Giants are a better football team. They should beat the Eagles.
They were a Thursday night.
With the playoff part on the line. Here's the talk to Tony's point. You're a professional team, okay? You got a playoff berth on the line against a team that's been falling apart, and you lose to them.
Again, it was I think we're underestimating the fact that it was 4 days on the road. I mean, it's Thursday on the road without one of your two best defensive players last night.
And I hate to say this, but it happens in sports all the time, and it shouldn't. You beat the Dallas Cowboys in a huge game, then you get a letdown. It happens all the time, and they're professional athletes, and it shouldn't happen. Like I hate putting the human element into it, but we saw it.
Giants will need help this weekend to get in. They need one of four teams.
Giants haven't clinched yet?
No. Okay. They need one of four teams to lose. Either the Packers, the Lions.
They're going to clinch this week.
Let's go Cowboys. Yeah. Packers, Lions, Bucks, or Falcons. If any of the four of those teams lose this week, Giants will get in. If not, they'll have another chance to clinch next weekend.
And here brings up the other point for fantasy Super Bowls. And I know we're going to get calls about this, tweets about this, whatever. How hard does Dallas play on Sunday?
Monday,
knowing that they've already clinched. Like, maybe they won't rest their guys, but, we don't want to get everybody to get injured when we got the first seed in the playoffs.
So that's what we're going to talk about on the other side of the break. Dallas now clinched the number one seed in the NFC. What does that do on Monday night in Week 16, Championship Week, against the Detroit Lions? We'll break it down for you next here on the Roto Experts. You like that, Corey?
Christmas trap.
you know what Christmas trap is? If you just combine Christmas and trap, you get crap.
Yeah, there you go.
So this is crap, someone would say.
Sounds all right, the generic music.
So the music,
how come we can't play Hollis and Christmas in Hollis? You know what I mean?
Above my pay grade, man.
Yeah, you're right.
I love that song.
Chris Pavone is our music director. Speak to him.
There you go, right there.
So
the legalities involved in that.
The Dallas Cowboys have clinched the number one seed in the NFC. 25. And You really do have to get the last word and everything. Dallas Cowboys.
We could play 25 seconds.
We can. That's not actually true. That's okay.
Really?
Really.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the Dallas Cowboys, number one seed in the NFC. And Scott, you mentioned going to break. What does this mean? What does this do? And they have nothing, absolutely nothing to play for. However, it's their final home game of the regular season here. First chance to get to play at home as the number one seed, as a team that's going to the playoffs in quite a long time, as you know, Corey. So the question is, do they come out, have all the starters play a full game? As Tony has mentioned, you know, pretty consistently on the show, if they don't play in Week 16, that means they're not playing for a month, basically. No Week 16, no Week 17, no Week 18, which is the first round of the playoffs. They would not play for 4 weeks here before a meaningful game. And you don't want to do that with your rookie quarterback and your rookie running back. Corey, you have mentioned that Ezekiel Elliott, he has something to play for still. He wants that rookie rushing record. So what does this mean for all the position players, from Dez Bryant, who's been banged up a lot of the year, for making sure you don't get Dak Prescott hurt, making sure you don't get Ezekiel Elliott hurt? What happens here? Let's go around the room, because I'm interested in hearing all of your opinions here.
Jerry Jones has already came out and said he said this a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
On his radio, you know, he does that radio show out there on in Big D on Monday mornings. He said his quote was he sees them as more as business as usual.
Okay.
I think Ezekiel Elliott is safe. I think you may see some rest sporadically for some offensive linemen, as that's a very important part of the team.
Mm-hmm.
They need to get healthy. But, you know, I do think that you see a Week 17 Tony Romo.
I'm going to go another step. I think you see a Week 16 Tony Romo.
I think so.
They're home.
Mm-hmm.
They want to get Romo in the game, get the big cheer, get him some snaps. It'll be the second half. I think you see Week 16 Tony Romo.
I've already zapped Dak Prescott out of my DraftKings lineup for Matt Barkley, so... I'm not.
How funny is that line, right?
Yeah, right?
I sat Dak Prescott out for Matt Barkley. Like,
well,
what?
In August, I never thought he'd mention either one. You know, in week eight, he still would have sounded ludicrous.
Right.
You know, but now Matt Barkley's only 5,000. But, you know, I don't even know how safe is Ezekiel Elliott. Now, here's the thing.
Zeke is safe.
I think so, too.
Yeah,
well,
I think Zeke
I don't
is
know.
Safe.
Well, first off, I'm not believing anything Jerry Jones says publicly. He's supposed to say that. You know, it's like a coach saying something.
Agreed.
Second off, how safe is he? Look, they're not playing for 4 weeks. You don't want them to get cold and rusty, etc. But they're not going to play with the all-out intensity. They need to, you know, they're looking forward to the divisional game right now. No matter what you say, physically, mentally, they have to be. You say they clinch the division, they come out, they congratulate them. They kind of go through the motions. I don't think Ezekiel Elliott's going to have 10 carries for 20 yards or anything like that, but I think the upside is trimmed just a little bit. You know, what is Dez Bryant's role going to be? Because that's a guy that gets banged up a lot, and you have healthy.
Absolutely.
You have to have healthy for the playoffs. Jason Witten is up there in age. That's something else to consider. I think you'll see those guys play a lot, but you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see some Darren McFadden sprinkled in there for a drive or two to rest Ezekiel Elliott. It's just, to me, to rest everybody in Week 16 for a half, I think it's dangerous and maybe something they won't do. But I think the statistical upside might be capped a little bit more.
Even a guy like Sean Lee, Corey, you know how important he is to even his injury issues.
Oh, boy.
I would not mess around with Sean Lee.
Yeah.
But you got to they've been in this situation before, and they've, you know, Week 16, players played a half. Week 17, the players played a little bit, and then they lose in the second, and then they lose in the division round.
Sure.
I think that probably is a... leaves a bad taste in people's mouth. And like you said, the break is long. I think they do want to get Zeke the rookie rushing record.
Yeah.
So I do think
to consider.
I do
how
think
far away is he?
About 250 yards away from the rookie rushing record.
So maybe that's why Zeke is safe. But the problem is here, and from a fantasy perspective, is we're playing a guessing game. Nobody is going to know for sure. So if you're in a tight decision between a cowboy and another player...
Other than Zeke.
Well, in DFS, I'm not going to use Zeke,
okay,
obviously. But if you're in a tight position, like, where you're going Dak Prescott or Jameis Winston, you go Jameis Winston.
I don't think you start Dak Prescott this week. I don't think you could do it. Tony, where are you on this?
I would play everyone like the game mattered. I don't think I don't think there's going to be any difference to me.
And then,
and as far as the upside, like if you're talking about fantasy, I mean,
yep.
You're going to play Ezekiel Elliott in fantasy, right?
Yes.
You're going to play Dez Bryant. Those are the only two with consideration,
really
maybe.
Play. Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't changed my mind on either of those two players.
Yeah, the Cowboys have very limited.
Jack was the only other one.
The defense the offense is condensed into a couple of players. I don't think too many people are playing Cole Beasley at this point in the season.
Let's at least consider this, though. You were the one that brought this up to me recently, and I thought about it. It was a very astute statement about, you know, how they could get concerned about Dez because he plays all out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And if he plays all out this week or next week, he could suffer an injury, and I think Dez wants to be ready for that playoff game.
I agree on that one. Maybe, you know, I agree with that. We'll see what happens. But this is still Friday. This team just won the division. Jason Garrett's going to be at the podium today. Jerry Jones is going to be at the podium today.
You can't believe what either one of them says.
Okay,
though.
But we as fantasy owners, we kind of have to go off of that.
No, we shouldn't go off of that.
But
if
he says we're sitting everybody, we would take that and go with it.
If he says, I don't know if I'd fully believe it either. It's a coach. He's lying. His lips are moving.
But sometimes it's all
Jason Garrett is an honorable head coach guy. He doesn't lie to the media.
They're all coaches. They all lie.
But sometimes that's all we have, right? Like, we always have.
It's all
we're
going to have.
Tells us. And it's not like
a guessing game.
Sure, but it's not like we ignore it, right? Like, we take it into consideration and we analyze it ourselves and we make a decision.
Ezekiel Elliott is 23 years old. He can run till March.
And you know he's going to have week 18
off. We're saying everybody besides Zeke here, but you know, that's it.
But Tony's right. When we say everybody besides Zeke, we're only talking about two guys.
Yeah.
We're talking about Dak Prescott. We're talking about Dez Bryant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I agree with you. I'm not starting Dak. If I'm in a championship and I have Dak Prescott, which is possible.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not starting Dak Prescott this
week.
Dez Bryant, I think, is the more interesting one. Because, you know, Tony has said that he's going to go all out. He's putting Dez in. He's forgetting about it. Scott, you have said that Dez Bryant, you know, goes all out, plays super hard, and they don't want to get him injured. Corey, which way do you lean?
I think that Dez Bryant plays. I think he gets a full complement of snaps. I'm not worried about it unless I hear differently this weekend. I would start Dez as usual.
Hear differently from who?
From Jason Garrett.
Why would we believe Jason Garrett? Coaches never tell the truth.
Because we really don't have anything else
he's not going to tell the truth.
Okay, so Jason Garrett comes out today.
He doesn't want the Lions to know what's going on.
We're
going to
be doing shows tomorrow morning.
Wait, why does he care about what the Lions think?
We're going to be doing shows tomorrow morning. You know, this is
he's supposed to play it like that.
And then speaking of which, everybody, Fantasy Sports Radio Network will be live tomorrow morning getting you ready for game day.
All four of us.
All four of us.
Only on the air tomorrow.
What time do we start tomorrow morning? 8 a.m.?
Tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Tony and Joe tomorrow.
It'll be Joe Pisapia, Scott Angle, the King, Tony Cicada. They'll get you from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. And then Corey and I will follow along with George Kurtz and Mike Blue for the Line of Lock show tomorrow at 11.
I think we have Mike Cardano and his son joining.
Yeah, Mike Cardano.
The Cardanos will be around.
Yeah, the better Cardano is going to be with us.
So when you're answering, when people are calling in or tweeting, answering questions, asking questions tomorrow morning, and the only information that we have is that Jason Garrett said that Dez Bryant was going to play, and somebody asks you, what do I do with Dez Bryant, Scott? What's your answer?
My answer is this. Well, first off, I've already made clear, I don't care what Jason Garrett says, okay? It depends on what their other option is, because I've gotten questions already like Dez or this guy, and it's close between Dez and the other guy to begin with. So I think it really depends on the choice. If I have a tight choice between two guys, I'm going the other way. You know, I've already got questions like, you know, like Dez Bryant or Doug Baldwin. I'm going to go with Doug Baldwin.
I don't know.
You know, but if somebody asks me Dez Bryant or you know,
Dontrell Inman,
I might lean Inman against Cleveland. But I think that's not going far enough down the ladder for me, you know? If you say to me, like, Dez Bryant or... I don't think Malcolm Mitchell's a good example either.
You're not starting Dez, basically, is what you're saying.
I'm not saying that's absolute. I'm saying, you know, Dez is probably not going to be top 20 for me this week when I revise my ranks.
And I've said when it comes to the coaches, particularly this week, Jason Garrett doesn't have a reason to lie. Like, he's not playing for anything. He doesn't care. So he can say, you know, most likely what I think he says today is that We're evaluating and we'll see what we're doing. We're planning on playing him, but we'll see. Which is basically nothing.
I disagree.
I think it's his job, you know, like what coaches do, even if there's nothing on the line.
Right.
They're still not going to tell the truth because that's just what they do.
Okay.
They still have to give off that image.
I think he comes out and he says it's business as usual. We're going to go out there and we're going to try to beat Detroit Lions.
Every time we've been in this situation in history, the coaches have said that, and they haven't always told the truth.
You know,
Jason Garrett's an honorable head coach.
We'll see what Jason Garrett
and Jerry Jones on his head and on his chest today, right?
We'll see what Jason Garrett and Jerry Jones have to say today. We'll be on the air all day, obviously, here on the Fantasy Sports Network. So you'll be able to hear from us. Of course, all four of us will be back tomorrow morning at some point from 8 to 1, getting you ready for a full Christmas Eve slate of games. We'll take a break. We'll talk more
about... Somebody asked me Dez Bryant or Devontae Parker. It's like I'm going Dez Bryant. You know what I'm saying?
So that's low enough down.
Yeah.
We'll take a break here. We come back. We'll talk more about this on the other side of the break. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Coming up tonight, 7 p.m., a Festivus chat. With the fantasy executive, Corey Parsons.
Fantasy Festivus.
Fantasy Festivus.
Executive Festivus.
Fantasy Festivus with the executive. How about that? Tongue twister there. Corey Parsons, get your lineup questions in the night before the games begin here tonight. Friday night chat with fantasy executive, Corey Parsons.
Yeah, and you got the game day chat, and both of these are free with our staff tomorrow from 11 to 1 a.m. Eastern.
But not us, because we'll be here.
Yeah, but Boys in Blue on Twitter says, primetime game with a lot on the line for Detroit. Cowboys going to look to smash them and rest week 17. Look, I could sit here and say all of this, and, you know, these guys play a full game and they go all out. But, you know, I think, you know, Tony has a saying, which I think is like one of the best ever, which is, don't confuse the result with the decision. So I'm not going to change my analysis.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about it. So I married a smoker.
That's your favorite. Yeah, every time you hear that commercial, you laugh.
It tickles me.
Yes.
When you're married, Scott, and it doesn't work out quite like you, and you know, 25 years of bliss, you can appreciate that.
Yeah. And I also love the one that you do for, you know, for this show as well. You know, that lets his life after Shea Stadium, and Corey's never been to a certain mountain. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those things happen in life.
Yeah.
Scott, what would you want if you were What do you want for Hanukkah?
What do I want for Hanukkah? Tickets to see Mariah Carey and Lionel Richie in Madison Square Garden.
Really?
Yeah. Outside of Kiss, like I would say, like I love Kiss and they're way up there above everybody else.
Really?
On the next tier is Run DMC, Lionel Richie, and Mariah Carey.
Mariah Carey makes it. So both of them makes that.
So,
Lionel Richie and Mariah.
That's great.
That's two of my favorite artists playing together.
Yeah.
When he says that, though, I think about that guy, that kid, the security guy at the San Diego Chargers game. I could see Scott getting stuck in that situation.
Scott going for it.
I don't know that story, really, to be honest.
You're better off Googling it.
We're gonna move on from that, I think.
I actually saw Lionel Richie in Madison Square Garden in the 80s, and it was a really,
really
good show. I've never seen Mariah Carey live, and she doesn't put on a great live show, but...
Well, how do you know that she hasn't if you've never seen her live?
I've watched her concerts on television,
okay.
She just... Yeah. While she's a great talent, she's not a great performer, but you know, just to be in the building and hear her sing would be pretty cool.
So she's one of those girls that just lays there then.
She just might as well stand there and sing, you know?
Oh, when you said that before, I got
the look on Greg's face.
Let's move on, Greg.
Okay.
We gotta get
move on, Greg. Tony says it, I know we're in trouble.
Tony, what do you want? What do you want for Christmas?
Oh, you know, it's crazy. I don't know. You know what? When you have a lot of kids, like one day away would be great. Like one day.
You were here last weekend. You know,
Oh, I know, but it was
another day.
Do you realize not working and having kids? You know, you get up at 6 in the morning, Greg. You got to be there at 6 in the morning, then you got to be there at 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Just one day to just hang out. That would be cool.
I'm with you.
What do you want for Hanukkah, Greg?
You know what? I got nothing.
Nothing really? Satisfied?
I'm very happy.
Corey, you got a number one seed that your present, or you want something else?
No, there's always things I want, Scott. But, you know, that's private. But, nothing really, like, jumps out at me.
That's all around the year, though.
Huh?
You want those other things all year round.
Yeah. So there's nothing really, nothing really new that was like, oh, I got to get that or anything like that. So I'm very grateful for the year that 2016 was. So I'm happy enough with that.
I did see something else online though too that was cool. It's just like they're re-releasing the starter jackets because, like, you know, some people starting to wear them again. And I saw one that was reversible. You know, and they have these for all the teams. It's like the Seahawk one is like the old colors on one side and the new colors on the other.
We should one day, Scott. Me and you should do a sports apparel show.
You know, I was talking to Mike Cardano about that yesterday. It's like I love, you know, and I managed a sports store for 5 years. I worked at Paragon Sporting Goods, one of the biggest sports stores in the city, for about another 5 years. And I just love sports apparel.
A lot of jobs. Your jobs that you ever had, Scott, was centered around sports.
A lot of them were. I love.
That's pretty crazy.
I love
That's
hats.
Cool.
Mm. I love jerseys. I remember selling.
And I love going to break.
Selling. I can tell a story about selling Guira caps to LL Cool J, which is pretty cool.
All right, thank you. On the other side, we go game by game. It's week 16. It's the championship. We're going to help you win next on the Roto Experts.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Hour number two underway here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Good first hour, I'd say. Little Giants, Eagles talk, Cowboys, clinching.
Yeah.
Number one overall seed.
In the NFC.
In the NFC.
It goes through Dallas.
Have the Patriots officially clinched in the AFC yet, Tony?
I don't believe so. They clinched a playoff spot. That's it. In a first-round bye.
In a first-round bye, right?
Yeah. Not. They need one more win or a Raiders loss.
One more win or a Raiders loss will get the job done.
You know, the Super Bowl's in Houston, right?
I believe so, yes.
Oh, the Cowboys might have to lead the state of Texas. That would be a tremendous home field advantage.
It would be a home game.
Why do you say that, though? Nobody in Houston will have the opportunity to buy tickets.
Why you say that?
Because all the corporate sponsors have all.
Well, that's true too. That's true too. And you do have that element, that aspect of it.
You do see some fans get a lot of tickets. I remembered certain Super Bowls, like Steeler fans would get a hold of a ton of tickets.
Well, right, buy them on StubHub for thousands of dollars. Houston fans are not going to buy tickets to a Dallas Cowboys Patriots game.
No, they're not going to buy that.
The Dallas Cowboy fans might buy up a lot of tickets.
You know why?
They can get more tickets because they don't have to get the airfare, right?
But they do have to pay for hotel. Well, then they can drive Sunday morning. They can get up early. Yeah.
How
they don't even have to pay for hotel.
Houston to Dallas?
I think it's 2.5 hours.
That's nothing.
It's nothing.
Mm-hmm. That's a trip down the Jersey Turnpike.
I think it's closest we've ever come to a home team at, you know, in a Super Bowl.
Now I think the closest before it was Dallas.
Oh, really?
I think when they played in the Superdome.
They have $700 to save now, the Dallas Cowboy fans, so there'll be more Cowboy fans at the game than any other team.
That's a big number, too. $700 is massive.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
That's a nice home field advantage. Tom Brady walk into that situation.
I never think Tom Brady's gonna be
Tom Brady don't give a shit. Tom Brady, like we can play at Texas Stadium.
Yeah. What if Tom Savage plays?
Yeah.
Oh, 21 Savage.
Right. Wait a minute. Tony's right there now. Like anything can happen. What if we get a Houston Dallas Super Bowl?
Yeah.
They are in first place.
Yeah. Tom Brady gets injured. Jimmy Garoppolo screws it up, you know.
It would take a lot for Tom Savage to take the Houston Texans to the Super Bowl.
We know maybe Tom Savage doing
is
it.
New, maybe Tom Savage is the new Tom Brady.
Wow. Right?
Oh. Way to go, Craig. Bingo, touche.
How about that? Houston Texans are home for the Super Bowl.
We can't say no yet.
Fantasy executive just ignored him like it couldn't happen. Yeah, I'm the Cowboys gonna have the home field advantage.
I'm not fooling with the Houston Texans. Okay. They're going to lose. They're going to play 4 o'clock on Saturday to the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Chiefs going to beat them up. And then, if you're the Houston Texans, what the hell do you do? How do you get better? You just wrapped up $70 billion in a bum quarterback.
Texans, you hang up a banner that says division champs, and you look to next year.
Yeah, but where do you see
they're
the
only
growth?
Responsible for $37 million. That's what the number actually. So $37 million. They got money tied up in J.J. Watt, which is going to be a downfall because after seeing pictures of him in college, there's no doubt that this guy's a steroid-induced lineman. Hmm. And that's going to fall off quickly. That division, everyone's going to be competitive.
Yeah, I mean, do you really see a situation? How do they get better? It's almost like they drafted a bad quarterback.
Yeah, how do they get better? Because, you know, they're not going to go out and get another quarterback.
They went and they locked up a running back last year. I mean, really, this team was put together to make a push this year. And they're not going to make a push.
They're
in first place.
I would surround Osweiler with, like three Jarvis Landry types and, like, tell him to throw 3 yards.
So spend more money.
Let him do stuff after the catch.
So spend more money.
Like, I get a Jarvis Landry type, a Golden Tate type, you know?
They got Will Fuller, DeAndre Hopkins, Jalen Smith.
I was just going to say, I don't think wide receiver. You think wide receiver is their problem?
Their problem is quarterback.
No, I'm saying the problem is quarterback to the point where you get Jarvis Landry and Golden Tate types to say, throw it 3 yards and let them run after the catch. Please don't do anything else.
Yeah, I don't know.
You got a great pass-catching running back, too, in Lamar Miller.
Quarterback's their only problem.
Quarterback's their problem.
And they don't even have J.J. Watt this year. Their defense is pretty okay.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I would never pay a defensive lineman big money. They'd fall off so quick. I think that's going to come back to haunt them, too.
Giants just did for 2 of them.
Giants were looking, more short term.
Oh, but you know, I tell you what, the one thing that they can't say, Clowney is getting better every game.
Absolutely.
Clowney is starting to become a better player every game.
He's becoming the player they drafted. You give that team Tony Romo?
See, that would make sense. No. You know why? Because you bring in a veteran like that, and you can still, got Osweiler there in case he gets hurt. And if he doesn't, this is a guy that can slap him around and say, come on, kid, this is what you got to do.
It's a lot of money investing.
The rumors that are coming out, he has his eyes on somebody because he does not want to be traded. He wants an outright release.
Right.
So there probably is a couple teams that he has his eye on. And I wouldn't be surprised if one of them, Houston Texans just gave Brock Osweiler all of this money, though.
What they can do, though,
he can stay home in Texas, don't got to go too far away. He's not moving, he's a young family, But now he's like, Houston's like, what we going to do? They got a running game in Houston, too.
It makes sense because they're already a playoff contender. He could be that next piece.
It's an AFC
team.
Then
you could say, look, Osweiler's still got a guy of the future, but we're bringing in Tony to win now and to tutor Brock.
Osweiler's not the guy of the future.
But you got to pay Tony, too, though.
Osweiler has one more year of guaranteed money left, and he's gone.
Yeah, you got to pay, and you got to pay Tony. You know what I'm saying? I would think Romo wants to play for an AFC team.
Houston would be the perfect team for him. Yeah. Perfect team.
I don't think Osweiler's going to be left in a. That's one of those things where you just eat the money.
Yep.
You think so?
Yeah. You end up being a top. Yeah. Well, the cap goes up $15 million next year. They owe him $37 million, so it's only a $22 million negative hit there. And these guys are rich.
It makes sense to me, though. So true. What are you going to do? You're going to continue to trot Osweiler out there and say, we signed him all this money, so we're going to continue to start him?
Bill O'Brien said they won't do that.
Tony Romo and give the narrative that these guys are battling.
You never believe what comes out of a coach's mouth. But he said he's not going to play a guy because of the salary, but he did it till week 15. You know what I mean?
I know.
They knew this guy. They knew the problem was Brock Osweiler.
I think you
never
you,
in the history
of Romo when you say these guys are battling for the job in the preseason, but you know that Tony's the guy.
I've never seen in the history of the NFL that a quarterback was removed this late in the season from a first place team.
That's crazy.
You know, this reminds, right? It just reminds me.
Says a lot about the division.
It reminds me of it. It's not a great comparison. But Scott, do you remember 10 years ago now? Maybe more. About 10 years ago, when the Brewers hadn't made the playoffs in like 20 years, and they fired Ned Yost with like 8 games to go.
Yeah.
That's what this reminds me of. 8 games to go, and they fired their manager. They're in the playoffs right now. They fired their manager with 8 games to go. Making it. This is what CC was pitching on 3 days rest from Milwaukee every single time out. It was crazy.
Ned Yost still went on to win the World Series. So.
Boom, Yosted.
Yeah.
All right.
The last word.
Good job, Scott.
Yeah.
It's going to be my game, guys. Playoff weekend. I want to know if you can start these guys. And then maybe a little eye toward the future as well, what you're thinking. So let's start in Buffalo here. Miami and Buffalo. This very well could be Buffalo's home swan song for Sexy Rexy, Rex Ryan.
And Tyrod Taylor.
And Tyrod Taylor. You're absolutely right.
What the hell are they doing?
Maybe they want to sign Tony Romo.
Not that bad back in Buffalo in that cold weather. That's not going to fly.
I'm just saying maybe that's what they want.
Yeah, but okay. This is another weird situation right here. You're going to get rid of Tyrod Taylor.
Imagine Tony Romo comes in with Tom Coughlin as the quarterback. I think I'll kill myself.
You're going to get rid of Tyrod Taylor, right? And Rex Ryan.
Right.
Who do you replace these people with?
So I think coaches, plenty of coaches out there, right?
Like, you bring Ryan Fitzpatrick back.
There's always coaches out there, whether it's Coughlin or McDaniels or Shanahan or Sean McDermott, whoever, right? Like, there's always a coach out there.
But you got to be saying they didn't give Rex a chance.
No,
he put up just about 500 seasons.
Sure,
and in the AFC East, where you have a dominant team in that division, and he didn't get a shot. Why do I want to go there and think I get more than a year or two?
You can only if you're not Coughlin, you got to come in and get power, right? You can't come in by yourself.
No,
coach.
See, the problem is we don't know what's going on with that team off the field.
Okay.
Are they showing up at practice, the players? Are people going to the meetings? Like, that's the stuff we don't know that I have a feeling that might be out of control.
Okay.
Because the ownership already stepped in once and got rid of the offensive coordinator for some issues. And I got to be honest, Tyrod Taylor might be the most overrated quarterback in the NFL.
Okay.
We're talking about a guy since our former Minnesota quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater. 14 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. That's not going to cut it in today's NFL. And you can say all you want, and this gets back to Rex Ryan. You can say all you want that it's a different offense and this is how they play the game. Well, you know what? That's not going to win in this NFL where it's a video game league and everything's made for the offense to have an opportunity in the passing game. So that comes into play with both these guys. I don't think Tyrod Taylor can play in a professional offense.
So you don't think if somebody gave him the opportunity to open up the playbook to him and let him play as a regular quarterback. They use him as a quarterback / running back right now.
Yeah.
And let him play as a drop back passer. You don't think he can handle it with a full playbook?
I think that's the biggest problem. They were talking about him during the preseason and coming out of Buffalo, you know, reading stuff coming out of there.
But did they give him a chance?
They were saying that they had no confidence about him as a drop-back passer.
Wow. And he's...
See, I hate to say definitely not, which I wouldn't do, because he's had a lack of weapons. I mean, you take Sammy Watkins out, and he's got Robert Woods, and he's not there. He has a poor offense put together for him. So I wouldn't say never, because in Baltimore they liked him when he was the backup quarterback. But, again, he was a backup quarterback, and everybody loves the backup quarterback. But he hasn't shown the ability, and he's 27 years of age. We're not talking about a young quarterback anymore.
The attempts.
So who do they? So the question is who they're replacing with, right? That was your question.
That's a great question.
397 attempts on the season. You know what I mean? And the guys beneath him are basically non-starters. Tom Brady obviously had the 4-game suspension, but Ryan Fitzpatrick being out the lineup. Case Keenum, you know, that situation is horrible. Kaepernick in and out the lineup. So he didn't really have the opportunities. Now you've seen other quarterbacks, you know, with a little bit more opportunities do better, but I don't know. Like, you send Taylor to the scrap heap, and who would you go bring in? Trevor Siemian?
I remember in the summer.
That's the question.
I remember in the summer that Tony was making a bold prediction saying that he thought that Cardale Jones was going to start at some point this season.
Well, he's not, so prediction was wrong.
No, I'm saying Tony was not high on Taylor.
I'll be 1 year off.
Either.
Yeah, oh, yeah. He'll be 1 year off. Exactly.
Sometimes as fantasy analysts, we're a year early on these predictions. It happens.
And that's kind of what leads me next to Devontae Parker, right?
To who?
Devontae Parker. Miami, because they're playing on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Sorry, we got
no, on our tangent. No, it's good. I was just showing you where my train of thought went. That's kind of how you go, Devontae Parker. Corey got on the radio and said, Devontae Parker is the best wide receiver in this class. He's the one you want to own. He's going to be a superstar. This is the guy. And he couldn't get on the field. He could not get on the field last night. Last year showed glimpses. And then this year, he has showed glimpse after glimpse after glimpse, making people very interested in him next year.
Well, the thing about it is, let's start with Ryan Tannehill, number one, as a quarterback. That's not really a humongous advantage. Number two, and Greg, we talked about this on the soon-to-be Emmy-nominated next week in fantasy, which you can see tonight.
Emmy nominated.
Yeah.
Emmy, well, I don't know what you're laughing at.
Yeah, I don't know. That was somebody tell a joke, Scott?
Yeah.
So
FSWA.
What we said about this, Greg, and I believe we mentioned it on the program. I don't know if it was last week, a couple weeks ago. It's a difference between being hurt and being injured. And this young man needs to realize that you can play hurt. You can't play injured, but you can play hurt. So he's going to have to step up in his and his durability aspect of the game and try a little harder before I can take him seriously any longer in 2017 and moving forward. He is a seventh round guy for me as a wide receiver 3/flex that you hope pops.
So if that's the case, because remember this summer, guys, everyone was all, Devontae Parker was
in the fourth round.
He was a rage. Him and Tyler Lockett were a rage around that fourth round.
He finished strong last year.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, I mean, we talked about this. Scott, you and I have talked about it. Tony, you and I have talked about it. Devontae Parker or Jarvis Landry? Devontae Parker or Jarvis Landry? That was a thing this summer.
Devontae Parker is probably a more talented player than Jarvis Landry, but Jarvis Landry has more will. That he has more will than Parker does. And always give me the guy with more will.
So next year, Tony, are you taking Jarvis Landry or Devontae Parker?
Oh, it's definitely Jarvis Landry. Devontae Parker, again, falling off. 3 catches, 2 catches, 1 catch his last 3 games. Mm-hmm. There's just no consistency in the game. The guy has all the tools, but he doesn't bring them to work every day.
Oh, man.
By the way.
I forgot my damn hammer.
By the way. I did find out last night that Jay Ajayi has a British accent. Did you guys know that?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Jay Ajayi has a British accent. Where's he from?
British accent.
Oh, yeah. I saw there's some special coming on, right?
Yeah. Exactly. It's like on the pregame show on the NFL Network. He's born in London.
I did not know that. Really? So what's Jay Ajayi is what's his name?
British?
Yeah. What's homeboy?
OC?
No, the guy all the women love.
David Beckham?
No.
Okay. Just going to keep guessing random people?
Come on now. Black dude. Idris Elba.
That was the guy I needed to figure out was Idris Elba.
Yeah, I couldn't think of his name.
Oh, God.
I know what you're talking
Stringer
about.
Bell.
Yeah. Stringer Bell. There you go.
But I was in Las Vegas.
Oh, what's up, Tom? What happened in Vegas?
Frank Bruno was an English, right?
English guy. Yeah, that's right.
And he was fighting Mike Tyson. I was there for that fight, and all these people from England were there. And they, like, it was everywhere you went, you ran into these English people, and they were so excited. And I was saying, what kind of foolish people left their country and spent all this money to watch this guy get his ass kicked? That's what happened.
They did the same thing with Ricky Hatton a couple years ago.
They
was the only one, Ricky Hatton. And then the second round, I was like, he's dead. They killed Ricky Hatton.
Scott,
has he been seen since he got
Ricky
beat up?
Ricky Hatton? Yeah. Scotty, what can we expect in week two of the Matt Moore experience?
I don't like him as much as I did last week. I was telling Corey, though, I would still use him over guys like, say, like Colin Kaepernick. You know, he's like about 20th for me in my rankings. He can throw a deep ball. I think the key guys in this game, Buffalo allows 20.2 fantasy points per game to running backs. So Jay Ajayi could help carry you to fantasy championship this week. And then the interesting thing is that Miami allows 24.4 fantasy points per game to opposing wide receivers. Byron Maxwell is banged up. You know, maybe this is a good spot for Sammy Watkins.
There you go. Maybe it is a good spot for Sammy Watkins.
Oh, he's had a setback this week in practice.
Really?
Another one.
With that foot. Yeah, with
there
that foot. I'm a little concerned. He hasn't practiced every day.
Yeah, forget I said that.
No. I mean, it's legitimate. I mean, if he's healthy, right, he can go out there. But there's no way.
If he has a setback, I can't have any confidence in it in a fantasy championship game.
Let's make a prediction on this game, guys. Dolphins and Bills, who you got, Scott Engel?
I am going to go Miami 20-16.
Okay. Corey?
I'm gonna stick with the Dolphins, a team fighting for a spot. So I'm gonna go with the Dolphins, something like 20-19. I think Buffalo puts a fight up.
Tony.
As I told Scott earlier in the show, everybody gets paid, and the Dolphins, even though they're in a playoff spot, they will lose in this game 24-20.
For the record, I'm also going to take the Bills for the same reason I like the Eagles last night. Vegas knows Buffalo is a 4.5-point favorite in this game. 4.5. So that's a lot of points against a team that's 9-5.
Yeah, so if that game was played in Miami, they still would look like they would.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's crazy, right?
It's a divisional game, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, same like the one on Thursday night between the Giants and the Eagles. All right.
I think the Giants are a better team than the Dolphins, though.
That's fine. The Giants were you know.
I was very disappointed in the Giants. You know, the Dolphins. They should have won that game.
You know, the Dolphins beat the Bills. The Giants and the Dolphins have the same record. Just saying.
I think the record wise, I don't think Miami's as good as. Tell me what the record is, whatever. You know, I don't think Miami's as good as the Giants.
Corey, what did Bill Parcells say?
You are what you are with the record set. You are who you are.
There you go.
You are who you are.
We'll take a break.
The Giants are a team that lost to the Eagles.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. We come back.
You could have got them on Tampa Bay right
there. You know
what?
Tampa Bay was a much hotter team. The Eagles are playing terrible football.
They have a
football.
Worse record than the Miami Dolphins.
They do.
Tampa Bay was hot.
Just throwing it out there. Why argue facts, Scott?
Back to losing to the Bears. Yeah. Wait a minute. You're going to compare losing to Tampa Bay to the road. You're going to compare losing to Tampa Bay to losing to the Eagles? The Eagles are playing like
on
garbage
on a short
until last
week
night.
In a division
you're
game.
You're the only guy comparing things here. I just
you mentioned it,
out.
Not me.
Short week in a division game.
No, I gave you the
what
facts.
I could have done, Corey, he's mentioned. How about the game against the Cowboys? That I could have mentioned.
Yeah,
but I didn't. It's okay.
I could say the game against New England, too, so.
Last word, Scotty.
Let's take a break. We'll come back.
Greg's just making excuses for the Giants.
What excuses am I making? We all agree that
Greg can't
flop.
Go to break because Scott has to get the last word.
It's so true.
The last word.
Jets, Patriots, Titans, Jags. I'm so nervous. He's going to interrupt me. We'll take a break and be back after this.
Give me presents. Give me toys.
Talking just a moment ago, Buffalo and Miami. With that being said, we opened up the phone lines 844-843-6879. 844-843-6879. We talk to you here, Championship Week. We are here to please and to help you.
By the way, I want to have a programming note here. I think based on your guys' recommendation, I'm going to change the name of the Old School Fantasy Hour. I'm going to call it The Last Word.
Oh, that's a nice name.
Yeah,
that's actually a good
that's
idea.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. I like that. Last Word with Lawrence O'Donnell, because, you know, he kind of named it first, but that's okay.
Who's Lawrence O'Donnell?
The guy who hosts The Last Word.
I never heard of him.
He's a newscaster. Yeah. All right, Joel in Buffalo.
Lawrence O'Donnell?
He's not Scott Engel.
You're up first.
Exactly.
Here on the Red West. What's up, Joel?
What's up, Joe?
What's up?
What's going on, guys? I have two quick questions. I'm in a performance league, so it's yardage is way more important than a touchdown. First one is, do I go with Ingram or Farrow?
Mark Ingram or Kenneth Farrow, Scotty?
See, this is a tough one. I just don't know what kind of workload Farrow's going to get. He's got the better matchup, but then you know Ingram is going to split carries, too. It's tough, and I could be swayed either way. I think I'm going to go with Ingram. I just feel like he's safer.
I agree with Scotty on this one. I would take the safer play in Ingram in the game with the bigger total, and maybe they give Ingram, you know, what they stole from him last week.
I was going to say, how is that the safe? I'm not arguing, but I don't think there is a safe play in this one, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think either is safe. I guess I'll go with the
between
more
those
I'll
two.
Guess I'll go with the more proven guy.
Yeah, I mean, because the coach is the problem with Ingram. I agree with you. I'm going Ingram, too. I don't know what will happen with Farrow, but I'm scared to death. Like, I think it's a great matchup for Ingram. I would love to play him in a daily fantasy, but I have no idea what the hell is going to happen.
Joe, what's your other question, bud?
And at my flex position, it would be Farrow or Sammy Watkins, Tyrell Williams, or Cameron Meredith, who's been coming on.
This is a good
lately.
Team. Ooh. This is why you're playing
this
the championship.
That's why you're in the ship.
I'm actually, I got to knock both of the running backs out. It comes down to me for Tyrell Williams and Cameron and Meredith. I think they can throw the ball against Washington, and Meredith has been coming back on lately. Tyrell Williams is playing with a bum shoulder. It could be like one catch for 50 yards and a touchdown. It could be two catches for 20 yards. I feel better with Meredith, actually.
Oh, boy. I think I like Williams. I think I like Williams to bounce back.
So, I have Tyrell Williams and I have Cameron Meredith with the same exact points in this one. I would lean to Cameron Meredith. I think that the Redskins will score more points in this game, and the Bears have a 22-team total because I think they'll throw the ball a lot more. So I'll go with Cameron Meredith. I don't think Cleveland can fight back against San Diego, and it could limit the amount of throws to Tyrell Williams, as Scott mentioned, playing with the shoulder, the injury there. So I think Meredith's a safer play.
There you go, Cameron Meredith. Cameron Meredith, start there. All right, Jets and the Patriots, guys, here. Patriots are at home, 16.5-point favorites against Bryce Petty and the New York Jets. Bryce Petty is going to play this week. That means, Corey, we're playing Robbie Anderson, right?
Bryce Petty, Robbie Anderson, Bilal Powell. That is the big three for week 16 when you talk about and discuss the New York Jets offense. I think you get those guys in your lineup. The Patriots, home favorite at 16.5. I could see them covering this joint, to be honest with you. I think they go in there. I think they light the Jets up, leave them no doubt. Big game for the New England Patriots. I think you start your Patriots guys, obviously. Tom Brady. The passing game, you know, it is what it is when you talk about the players on that end of the football. I think the key one here is LeGarrette Blunt.
I think the Patriots could throw all over the Jets here and roll out to a big lead. I like a lot of their pass catches this week. Malcolm Mitchell to score. Chris Hogan. I have been in a DraftKings lineup this week. Friendly Price. Big plays. The Jets have been giving up big plays to wide receivers all year long. They've been getting burned by the tight ends. I think the stars this week, you know, you can always like Edelman, especially in a season league, but I think Hogan has the potential to
burn
them.
You've been on Hogan all season.
I think there's been a few weeks where I've been off him. You know,
He's been a few weeks you've been off him, man.
Because he's inconsistent. You know what I'm saying? He's inconsistent. Mitchell always has the possibility to break a big play and score a touchdown, and the Jets have been terrible against the tight end. You got to like Martellus Bennett, too. And this team, you know, Belichick doesn't take his foot off the gas.
No, he does not.
They could score 45 points. They could all be involved. And
they might ring him up, Scott. You're right.
They might ring him up. I know this is a divisional game, but I'm throwing that out the window because I've been watching the Jets the last 2 weeks. This team has given up.
The flex championship, me versus Jake Seeley.
Yeah.
I have Chris Hogan and Martellus Bennett in my starting lineup.
I feel good about it.
Yep.
Yeah. That'd be nice for you to have the Cowboys like clinch home field and win the flex championship.
If I was to beat Jake
week,
in the flex championship, you don't understand.
What will happen?
I'm just gonna be happy. Don't get me wrong. Jake's my friend. He's my buddy. Whatever. But
you're gonna remind him of it every day.
I'm gonna remind him that I beat you in the flex championship, and I want that belt from Fantasy Jocks. That'd be real cool to show up the next year's flex with that.
They should do a custom open for the show with like Jake Seeley and Corey Parson.
Why are you giving Florio more work?
What?
Why are you giving Florio more work?
I'm giving it to Bavona because he likes doing that kind of stuff.
Oh, Bavona's down there today?
No.
I could see Bavona doing that voiceover.
But he's probably not listening to us right now, so he has no idea.
I'll tell him about it.
All right. Make your predictions between the Jets and the Pats.
I am going to say New England 37 and the Jets 17.
Corey?
I'm going New England 30, Jets 13.
And Coney Sincata.
New England 42, the Jets 21.
Looking for a big scoring in this game.
Vikings and the Packers in Green Bay. What do we expect from your guy, Stephon Diggs, Corey?
Here we go, Stephon Diggs. Listen, he should be able to get the targets. This is going to be a game where I think the Green Bay Packers come out. I don't care about the Minnesota Vikings defense right now. I think the Packers come out and try to smoke these dudes. A Packer team that's getting hot. They see an opportunity. The Detroit Lions will not have played yet, so I think they leave them no doubt in the victory. With that being said, I think Stephon Diggs is the guy that you can look for volume this week. Now, he has been playing not as well since the injury. We've seen Thielen come on except for last week. So I do think that Stephon Diggs is a guy that you can get in there in that wide receiver three range, and he's a guy I like going forward into next season.
Sometimes I think when you see a team get beat like the Vikings did at home last week, they kind of regroup, especially in a game against a major rival. They will show up to play. You know,
really?
Green Bay's not going to walk all over them. You know, the Vikings still have postseason hopes. So the Packers also give up 26.5 points per game to opposing wide receivers, second most in the league. I like Adam Thielen this week.
Interesting.
I feel like Diggs is a little bit banged up, so I'm kind of liking Thielen this week. They're going to have trouble running the ball, but I think the defense is going to come back and play this week. Ty Montgomery, after what we saw last week, and we always react to last week, it's hard to not like him, but I think they're going to make him work harder for the yardage this week. It's not going to be anything like last week.
Tony?
The Diggs situation, I think there might be more than we're giving credit for. He has a hip injury. I was at the one game they played against the Jaguars a couple of weeks ago. He was barely involved in the offense. And then Thielen, people have confidence in him. He left the game in the third quarter, and it's supposed to be okay, but he never came back. I don't like this Minnesota team in this game. I just think they're beat up, and there's not a lot of talent to go around. I think Green Bay handles them easily.
I got Green Bay dragging them, too.
You know what? We have talked a lot, guys, especially you and I, Corey, about the player that you were going to pick up this season to win your fantasy championship, right? Like, we've talked a lot about that, and you said pick of the year and whatnot.
Yeah.
I don't know about pick of the year. I'm just talking about the guy you picked up over the last
The down month. The stretch guy, Ty Montgomery.
That's
fantastic.
It. That's the guy.
Ty Montgomery. If you're a Ty Montgomery owner, you have to feel real good about yourself moving down the stretch. Of course, the matchup on paper looks tougher, but you get him in a lineup. I'm not going to say that Ty Montgomery is matchup proof. But interesting. And let me. Do you think they go with this? I think Lacy's gone.
I agree.
And then they get it.
I agree with that.
You know, get your three X pants.
Right.
Get the hell out of here.
I agree. He's gone.
You think you don't think they would possibly come into 2017 with Ty Montgomery as their starting running back, though? Do you?
No.
I think what's going to happen is they're going to pair him with another
draft a running back.
Yeah, that I agree with.
With another type of running back who's more of a speed guy, scat back.
Maybe Ty Montgomery's got speed. I don't know, that's the problem.
No, but he's not a pure speed guy, is what I'm saying. You know, he's very physical too.
I'm impressed.
I'm impressed
for a wide receiver what he does at the goal line.
Yeah,
in short yardage situations, he's run really well. So what I think, you don't have to draft in today's NFL. You get good running backs in the fourth or fifth round.
Yeah.
So you can come into camp with Montgomery and then bang out a draft pick in the fourth or fifth round.
I can see them
complimenting
him with a Gio Bernard type, you know, something like
you
that.
You really think that's the? I don't think that's the compliment. I don't see Ty Montgomery as Jeremy Hill to the. You know what I mean?
Well, I feel like Montgomery's very physical.
His running style is, he
has a nice spin move and stuff like that. But he's very strong. I think they want to get somebody who's like a cutback guy, can make people miss and has speed. I think would be a nice compliment.
I got Ty Montgomery.
No, Ty Montgomery's not a cutback runner.
No, but he's not. But he's certainly a pass catcher out of the backfield.
Yeah,
obviously.
But I'm saying it's a speed back. You know, like somebody who's like cutback juke. You know, like
Amir Abdullah,
like a slasher. Yeah, that type. Yeah,
I don't know. To me, they need a bigger dude. He's not big though.
Ty Montgomery's very physical though. I've watched him this year and see him just bowl some top defenders over. And if they teach him more of the fundamentals of running like a running back, he's really going to knock people over and break tackles. We haven't seen the best of this guy yet.
Right. And I'll agree with that.
Because he doesn't run with a low center of gravity with much body.
If Ty Montgomery comes into to camp as a starter next year, where does that guy get drafted?
I don't know. I don't think
I'll tell you what I do know. He won't go before the fourth round because last year, remember, McCoy and the Tennessee running back, Murray, right? These guys have established track records.
Yeah, they
went there. Right. So basically, you're going to be able to get this guy, and he's going to be a significant bargain. I think for fantasy owners.
What about a guy like Davante Adams? Where will he go next year?
Because he's going to get a bump.
He has come on in a big way. We've waited and waited and waited for this. It's happened. We know Jordy's probably a first rounder. Where's Davante Adams go?
I, I, Wait a minute. Can Adams finish as a wide receiver one this on the season?
I don't know.
I think he's close to it, if not.
Yeah, he's definitely close to it. But the Devontae Adams, you saw the game last week.
Yep.
He dropped two passes that were right to him.
It's the old Devontae Adams.
Like, I'm like, I'm like, you know what? I'm not going out of my way and picking this guy in the first five rounds, no matter where he comes at the season's end, because this guy's up and down a little bit. He's not a surefire thing.
Wide receiver 12. Devontae Adams.
So he's a guy. He's another one of these guys people are going to be all over again next year.
Yeah, but him. On August 2017, I want Adams as a wide receiver 3. I don't want him. I don't want him as a 2.
You're not getting him then.
Then I won't have him.
No, you want him as a wide receiver 3. He's currently a wide receiver 1. I'm just letting you know that.
I'm trying to get a discount.
It's going to be someone else's problem.
Yeah, there you go.
That's where we need consistency analysis, because the guy's very inconsistent.
We'll take a break here. We'll come back. We'll talk about Blake Bortles and the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Tennessee Titans here, along with the Chargers and Browns. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're back here on the Roto Experts here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Continuing on at 844-843-6879. Let's go to Jim from Chicago. What's up, Jim?
Jim.
Hey, guys. What's up? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what's
up, Jim?
On,
Jim,
man?
What's the temperature like in Chicago this morning?
Cold. Well, actually, no, it's not cold.
Good.
40 degrees is considered warm in winter.
Hey, in Chicago, you know how in New York we got Rockefeller Center and the big Christmas tree and stuff like that. Is there like a Christmas-type, you know, holiday thing to do in Chicago that's pretty cool? If I'm touring to Chicago for the holiday season, what's a cool thing for the fantasy executive to do?
Hit up Navy Pier.
Navy Pier? All right, cool. I'll jot that down.
Navy Pier's cool. I've been there.
Oh, you have been?
Cool spot. Well, what's your question, Jim?
Okay. I have to start. Two out of these four. One's going at a tight end spot, and the other at my flex spot. I have Delanie Walker at Jacksonville, Cameron Brate at New Orleans, Taylor Gabriel at Carolina, who I'm scared of now because Julio's back, and then the bum Allen Robinson against Tennessee.
So here it is. Jim's one of these rare guys to have Allen Robinson on a championship team.
Yeah.
I am as well.
You are too. Tony.
That's right. Yeah, Tony does.
All right. So Tony, why don't you take the question then? He needs the tight end and then one of the other three guys in the flex. You're an Allen Robinson owner, Tony. What do you think?
Yeah, and I like Cameron Brate as the tight end this week. I think in that New Orleans-Tampa game, we have a $5,300. Yeah, that's the scary part. We have a $5,300 total. That defense, Jacksonville, is pretty good. So that's why Delanie Walker's a consistent threat. But I'm going back to Cameron Brate. He's the number two. He's the number two receiver in that option, so he comes in play.
I like Brate also.
Who is the – now, one more time on the flex, who are the options besides Allen Robinson?
Taylor Gabriel of Carolina and then Delanie Walker.
Yeah, you can't play Taylor Gabriel because of those two guys being back. And he's a guy that only needs one play and he can get a 50-yard touchdown so we can look bad on this
one. It's a PPR. It's a PPR league as well.
I would go actually with two tight ends, and I never do this.
You never do it.
I've done this 2 weeks in a row now. I would go with two tight ends, and I would play Delanie Walker.
I agree with that, Tony. I think those are the two better players here. I agree. We go with that two tight end strategy.
So you would sit Allen Robinson?
Yeah. What am I playing Allen Robinson for?
Because the Tennessee Titans have been getting dragged the last month.
So what?
His secondary, Titan secondary,
Corey,
has been getting dragged.
What did Allen Robinson do last week?
Closure. Allen Robinson. Okay.
Hey.
Well, there you go.
We almost remember Blake Bortles is still the quarterback.
Yeah, 92.
Corey, start Blake Bortles this week.
Listen,
are we really saying we're scared of Gabriel though? Because Julio's back. Because, you know, Gabriel had some big plays with Julio there.
No, Sanu is out too, though. They're both back now.
Sanu.
So I think guys, I think.
No, but it comes to the amount of plays, Scott. Not the talent.
So I think the best comparison we can make to this is the obvious one, right? With Tyreek Hill, that both these guys went off. Jerry Maclin returns, and he'll still stall his. But he had one touch. He went for a touchdown, but he had one touch here. Taylor Gabriel, yep. He's going to get a big play opportunity. I am not disagreeing.
They will take a shot down the field.
They'll take a shot. It's will they convert the shot. That's
right. That's the thing. I wouldn't start him over Delanie Walker, but you know, I'm not going to totally write off Taylor Gabriel against Carolina either.
Right.
I don't know. I listen, I understand, Scott, with closure, but, you know, he texted me last night, Allen Robinson, and
break
I told him,
I told him I would come over today.
I told him I'd get a cup of coffee with him.
You know what? He would probably drop the cup of coffee.
You know what's crazy is I might have Robinson in my lineup this week. I'm actually thinking about putting him back in over Tyreek Hill this week.
Tony, closure.
Closure.
Tyreek's one of those guys. He's going to get you all or nothing.
But Allen Robinson's going to get you to nothing.
He's had a successful career thus far.
Well, until 2016.
Well, he had a few. It's 300-100-yard games.
When was the last one?
The last one.
When was the last one for Tyreek Hill?
Tyreek Hill just took a 68-yard handoff to the house.
See, Scott, I think Allen Robinson, Tyreek Hill, that's a slam dunk right there. That's Allen Robinson.
No way. I'd rather have to take the shot at a big play from Hill. Robinson's been doing absolutely nothing.
Has there been...
Now, Tyreek Hill's boom or bust, but Allen Robinson just bust.
As bad as... Allen Robinson has been. It's amazing how bad Allen Hurns was, too. Like, everyone saw this regression coming. Boy. I didn't think it'd be this bad.
I had Allen Hurns on a couple teams this year, too. Luckily, I was able to pick up Rashad Matthews.
Part of that.
Yep.
Yeah, the Allen Hurns thing, I'm not down on him as a player as of yet. Blake Bortles' plays just absolutely went the wrong way this season. So his play dropped off. And then the Marquise Lee, he just emerged.
Played well.
As a top-flight player. You know, everything they thought he was going to be when he drafted, it took him 3 years to get there, which used to be the norm for wide receivers.
But you know they did a hell of a job drafting those wide receivers with Hurns and Robinson and Lee and of course Justin Blackmon also.
Yeah,
who's not around.
Did. On the other side of things here.
By the way, I just want to point out in his last five games, we were talking about 100-yard games. Allen Robinson's barely cracked 100 in his last five.
Total.
Mm. On the other side of things with Tennessee, we have seen more and more and more. More and more and more. Of Derrick Henry.
Yep.
Is Derrick Henry someone, Corey, that you feel confident starting this week in your championship?
I told you the situation that I had.
That's why I asked you.
I'm going back and I'm checking on it right now. The way I'm looking at it, in my specific situation, right, the decision for my second flex came down between Derrick Henry and Brandon LaFell. And Derrick Henry's in my lineup. I know Derrick Henry will touch the ball at least 10 times.
Agreed.
If he gets in the end zone once, that's like six catches for LaFell. It's the equivalent.
LaFell's not going to catch six passes.
I'm saying,
tomorrow.
No.
That's what he's saying.
I'm rolling Derrick Henry out there. Listen, I'm not saying everybody should, you know, every situation is different, but I got four running backs in my lineup this week. Derrick Henry, Bilal Powell, LeSean McCoy, and Spencer Ware.
I like them all.
I like three of them. I'm trying to figure out. I mean, I could sit Spencer Ware for Devontae Booker, but
I'm not concussed.
So I'm not going to do that. I got into an argument
with Cha-Cha yesterday on
you,
Old
Why
School
would you argue
Fantasy
with
Hour?
Cha-Cha, Scott?
Because that's what he does.
That's like talking to a baby, Scott.
But he says you should start Spencer Ware because they're facing Denver. I'm saying... It doesn't matter who he faces right now. He's not playing well.
Good.
He's not playing well, period.
Make your prediction here. Jacksonville versus Tennessee.
Do we have to?
Yes.
Tennessee 24, Jacksonville 13.
Yeah, give me...
New coach in Jacksonville, St. Doug.
Give me Tennessee 27, Jacksonville 23. Did I say the same thing as you, Scott?
No,
I said 24-13.
Okay. Tony. Oh, my bad. I'm tripping.
At the end of three quarters, Jacksonville 17, Tennessee 6, finishes 2017. Tennessee tight.
It's going to be like the Nets and the Warriors last night.
Oh.
How'd that picture-in-picture go for you last night?
Oh, it was great. I watched the Knick game on the left side and the Giants game on the right.
How about that?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
And how about my boy Kyle Quinn? Yeah.
I was thinking of you when that was going on.
I didn't know he was from Queens College. I found that out this morning.
Wait a minute. I didn't know that. He went to Queens College?
That's what Florio told me.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, is he like the first NBA player ever from Queens College?
He went to Norfolk State.
Florio, where's Florio?
He's here.
Ask him where he came from.
Well, you can, Florio, you can speak.
Oh, he went to Norfolk State.
Sorry, guys, I was screening some calls.
He's from Queens, New York, but went to Norfolk State.
Oh, Queens, New York. Maybe that's
I wonder what part of Queens he's from. Let's see.
He went to Campus Magnet High School.
So that's not in Queens.
Before that, that's a prep school.
That's one of those magnet schools, I think.
Cambria Heights.
He went to Holy Cross. In Queens.
He played lacrosse?
No. He went to a school called Holy Cross.
Holy Cross.
And actually, apparently, to my friend who went there with him, did not make the team his freshman year.
Nah, Holy Cross is
It's Michael Jordan.
Yeah, there you go. Holy Cross is a very good school.
I don't see that in his Wikipedia profile, just for record.
Norfolk State.
That's so. 7-5-7. I believe Florio's friend.
So he made the league from Norfolk State.
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's pretty good.
It's a pretty good spot.
He must have been undrafted free agent.
He was not drafted in the second round by the Magic.
Oh, okay.
Pretty good stuff. Kylo Quinn, big game last night. Good job, Scotty. All right, we'll take a break.
He's on a roll.
He is. We'll take a break here. We'll come back. We'll get to this Chargers and Browns game. The final word on Kenneth Farrow. We'll make our predictions if the Browns will wind up getting a win. We do it next. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning. We're back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. One of the bigger questions we have had all week long has revolved around Kenneth Farrow, guys. What do you do with Kenneth Farrow? What do you do with Ryan Hillman? What do you do with the San Diego Chargers here this week? You just had a question about Tyrell Williams as well. Tyrell Williams, a wide receiver, battling a shoulder injury himself. Cleveland, desperation time. They're 0-14. What do we make of this, Corey Parson?
All right, well, what do we make of it? The Cleveland Browns, this is like one of their final opportunities to not embarrass my guy, Hugh Jackson. But what's wrong, Scott?
Mike? Is that your mic on?
Yeah, my mic is off.
All right. Yeah.
Florio,
there you go.
Oh, there you go.
Florio turned himself on and turned me off.
Oh, boy. Matt Deutsch would not like
sounds
that.
Like our old sounds like our old producer.
I'm about to say the same. So here we go right here. Cleveland Browns situation is pitiful, but you know, you did see some things this season. Terrell Pryor, you know, Isaiah Crowell, I think, ended up being a nice draft pick. Was in that RB2, RB3 range. He was dependable throughout. Not dependable, but he was a good go throughout the course of the season, right? That's the Cleveland Browns thing. Now, with Kenneth Farrow, I can only go by what I'm doing. I'm sitting him this week for Dontrell Inman in a championship game. The matchup is good, but I don't think the talent is good enough to take advantage of it. The workload could very well be there. I just can't trust this kid in week 16. You're going to have some situations where you have to, and that's really like the best that I can really do with this analysis. I think this is a real conundrum, Scott.
I think it is too, and it's like the matchup looks good, but you know, we talk about fantasy Super Bowl week and not to overthink things. You know, the matchup is there, but can the player take advantage of the matchup? I'm at that sort of school of thought though too with Spencer Ware too, and I have seen nothing from Kenneth Farrow to make me believe that he can take advantage of this matchup. Now again, you know, this is the Cleveland Browns. They're the worst defense in the AFC, and Kenneth Farrow could go out there and have 125 yards and a touchdown.
And
but again,
hurt.
You know. It's not a certainty, and you want to eliminate as much uncertainty as you can in a fantasy Super Bowl. So, again, I go to the Cincata, you know.
I mean,
the Cincata, don't confuse the result with the decision. I can't trust Kenneth Farrow in my fantasy Super Bowl. There are situations where you have to use him as a flex because maybe he's your best choice, but I can't have a lot of confidence.
The only reason we're having this conversation is because the matchup is against the Cleveland Browns,
exactly.
who stink. And if the Chargers get out, then they can go ahead
and pound Farrell. And he's not getting yardage against the Browns.
Last week, I started
Hugh Jackson throws up his clipboard and says, I got to put Ronnie Hillman in.
Last week, I started Kenneth Farrell over Spencer Ware. This week, Spencer Ware is back in my lineup because I know Spencer Ware will give me
You'll get the volume.
10 to 13
You just don't know what the workload is like for Farrell. If Farrell comes out and he's not getting yardage against this defense.
Every point's count.
He could see his workload scale back considerably.
Every point is going to count this week because the team that you're playing against is in this game too. And there's going to be a lot of dogfights out there. I don't know. I don't know. Tony, I'm the Kenneth Farrell thing is really has me stuck this week.
So I have Farrell ahead of Inman, but here's the thing. We're taking this matchup into account, right? And you guys talked about it there. I think this upside with Kenneth Farrell huge because of the opponent. But there's no certainty at all. And I would if I was playing in a season-long league and I felt like on my team, I would play Inman over him. But if I'm playing daily fantasy, I have lineups with Kenneth Farrell in it. Yeah. Just because the matchup's so good that you can't ignore it. But you're right, Scott. If you're looking for predictability, I would just play Dontrell Inman, and I'd feel a lot better about it.
Make your prediction, guys, on the game here.
Oh, boy. I'm sorry, Hugh. But I think the San Diego Chargers go in there and they get the W. Give me San Diego 26, Cleveland 19.
San Diego 24, Cleveland 20.
San Diego 27, Cleveland 10.
Let's quickly go back to the phone lines here. Brian, New Jersey, you're up
Brian,
next.
What's up, my man?
What's up, my brother?
Ain't nothing
Merry
much.
Christmas,
chilling.
Happy holidays to everybody.
Yeah, same to you, my
up?
Man.
What's
good
up, bro?
Job.
So how's everybody? Everybody ready to rock this weekend?
Ready to rock, ready to get it done. I know you got that big matchup coming up. Your I guess your home league, your work with your work buddies. You're in the finals for the first time.
Second in 3 years, but
okay.
I got down the first one by the big man. But you seen that trophy? We got to bring that back along with the green.
There you go.
But you guys were talking about closure. I got a reverse closure going here. I'm going up against Rodgers, who I owned the first 3 years, and he's perfect. So he's going to either burn me or he's going to burn the opponent.
It's going. You're coming full circle with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, full circle. You ain't kidding. So let me, if you guys got a sec, let me spit out my lineup.
We don't. We actually don't have that set. We actually don't have the second for the whole lineup, Brian. If you want to hang on, we'll pick up on the other side of the break. If you want to just hang on then.
All right, then we'll make it quick. D-Jax or Fat Rob.
There you go.
D-Jax or
Fat Rob.
I would go Deshaun Jackson.
I'll go Fat Rob.
Deshaun Jackson, too.
All right, I'm going to get Deshaun Jackson as well. There you go. Deshaun Jackson. Championship week for Deshaun Jackson. Stick around. Hour number three comes your way next on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Oh, hello there. If you're enjoying the Roto Experts in the Morning on demand, well, there's a whole nother hour that you could listen to live every single weekday morning from Monday to Friday. If you want more laughs from Corey Parson, listen to the Roto Experts from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern every single weekday morning. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.